Ministers and teachers imbibe the intriguing views. Ministers and physicians who had a high regard for Dr. Kellogg began to imbibe his philosophy and to develop it in their own work, not sensing the point to which it would lead. One such was Elder E.J. Wagoner, who was also a physician. He was at one time editor of the Signs of the Times and the man who, with Elder A.T. Jones, was used mightily of God at the General Conference in 1888 to bring a re-emphasis on the message of righteousness by faith. Elder Wagoner, one of the denomination's highly respected speakers, was repeatedly called upon at the time of General Conference sessions to conduct series of Bible studies. At the General Conference of 1899, held at South Lancaster, Massachusetts, Wagoner was a delegate from England, where he was engaged in editorial work. In a discussion of health and temperance, Elder Wagoner was asked to make a presentation of some things he had been giving to the Battle Creek Sanitarium family. He opened with a rather bold statement. "I thank God, brethren, that the Lord has taught me something in the last few months, and enabled me to teach something of how to live forever." He recognized that some would feel that this was fanaticism, but he denied this. He asked the question, "What is it that gives us life, no matter who we are? It is the life of God. How many lives are there in the universe? There is but one life, and that is the life of God. What is the life of God given to us for? That we may live it. And how long is the life of God to endure? Through eternity. What does He let us have this life for? And why does He bear it with us, and with this whole world? That we may take the life that He has already given, and know that it is eternal life." He was asked by someone in the audience, "Do you ever expect to be sick?" He answered, "No, I expect to live forever." In his presentation, which carried over into the afternoon, Wagoner referred to man's first breath. He noted that the first thing a human being does when he comes into the world is to breathe. This is what happened in Adam's experience. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man breathes the breath of life into his nostrils 18 times a minute. "Brethren," declared Dr. Wagoner, "God is wonderfully near." Wagoner went on. "When a man knows and recognizes that every breath he draws is a direct breathing of God into his nostrils, he lives in the presence of God, and has a spirit-filled life. Let a man breathe by faith, and he will be full of the Spirit of God." Continuing his discussion, the doctor introduced another illustration. When Paul was stung by a viper, those standing by thought he would die. But he did not. Why? There was a power, a life, to resist, was there not? We are continually breathing in germs. You cannot go on the street, at least in the cities, without breathing in germs of tuberculosis. But we do not all have tuberculosis. We may be exposed to typhoid fever, and yet escape. Why? Because, you say, there was a vitality to resist. But what is it that swallows up these germs? It is the life of God. The air is God's medicine, and good food is God's medicine. There is power, life, in the pure water, because God's life is in it. He went on to discuss the matter of bread. What do we put into the ground when we want corn? We plant the seed. Now when you have a handful of good seed, that seed has the life of God in it. When this is made into bread, life is in it still. We do not see the life, but it is there, and it is the life of God. It is His body, and we take His body and get life. Someone in the audience asked, "Is the life of God in the bread?" "Yes," Dr. Wagoner answered. The questioner asked further, "What is the difference, then, between this and the position taken by the priest?" To this Wagoner gave a rather dubious answer, claiming that they were diametrically opposite. Dr. Kellogg, in giving a report a day or two later on the design of sanitariums, reiterated these concepts. As Dr. Wagoner was telling you the other day, we never eat anything good, but we are tasting God. It is a sacred thing to eat. This grows out of the fact that God is in everything. At this same meeting, Dr. Daniel H. Kress spoke of the marvelous work and the healing of a wound. The Lord is constantly at work. God works in us, constantly building up, repairing waste, and healing all manner of diseases. I am the Lord which healeth thee. But in addition to the fact that God is in every man, we must recognize that He is in everything, the food we eat, the air we breathe. These are a means of ministering life to man.